Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Spiritual Hollywood Hour. I'd like to thank Don Newsom over at BBS Radio for giving Spiritual Hollywood this wonderful platform to make a difference and use media and Hollywood to raise consciousness. I have tonight a wonderful, wonderful surprise for you, and his name is Christopher Howard, and he has the Breakthrough to Success Wealth and Power Weekend coming up in Los Angeles, and we're going to hear all about that. Christopher Howard has literally gone from riches to rags to riches again, if I'm understanding this correctly, and became a millionaire at age, I believe it was 36. And I know he was eating, I think it was Top Ramen or macaroni and cheese for a while after he started not working with hospitality industries. He used to work with hospitality industries, and that's a pretty elite lifestyle. And then after he stopped working there, he got back into the real world again. And really, really, it was a blessing to him because he then was forced to find out what his calling and his purpose in his really, really was. So without further ado, I will bring on Christopher Howard to tell you all about how he got where he is, that he is, and this wonderful seminar that he has coming up in Los Angeles that you will not want to miss. I took this seminar, and it absolutely changed my life. Everything that I wanted, everything I was running from that was exhausting to me, it was exhausting me. This seminar helped me to realize that when I run toward what I want, I'm rejuvenated. So the energy shift is tangible. So without further ado, I will bring on Christopher Howard. Hello, Chris. How are you?
Hey, how are you doing?
Good, good. I hope that was an okay intro for you. I was just going by memory of what I know about you from when I had that wonderful weekend at your Breakthrough to Success seminar.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think any intro is a good intro, and I'm thrilled to be on
your show.
Good
to have one, isn't it?
Yeah.
In life.
Yeah, it's good to be back. I just came from Australia this morning, so I'm kind of getting my bearings again here. But
got it. I know you just flew in from Sydney earlier today, were doing a Breakthrough to Success seminar over there, correct?
Yeah, I just wrapped up actually an Australian tour. We had done Melbourne, Perth, Australia, and Sydney, Australia, and now back over here in Los Angeles for this weekend, then off to the UK, then off to South Africa for the following weekend. So,
oh my God,
doing a world tour.
Well, you're living the life that you created for yourself and that you saw for yourself. And I understand that you read probably 6 different biographies of billionaires so you could find out what made them tick, what was their thinking, what was their mindset, how did they attract to them what they have. Who was your favorite one to read about? I know you read about Oprah Winfrey, Donald Trump, Rupert Murdoch, and Warren Buffett, and Sir Richard Branson.
It started at 6. Today it's become well like 600.
Wow. Wow.
And so in the early days, I made my goal was to read six biographies per individual that I was studying, and then it just kept continuing to grow and grow and grow. And if you saw my library today, it looks it's just huge, and it's just biographies. And I think of all the, you know, I've appreciated different aspects of different people as I studied them. I've studied their strategies, and it's, you know, it goes beyond just about learning about them. It's about, well, okay, how do you learn how to invest like a Warren Buffett, or how do you learn how to think big like a Donald Trump, or how do you structure deals like a Trump, or how do you learn about how to really drive your life with passion like an Oprah Winfrey? And so there's different things that I've learned from each person. I really appreciate Richard Branson. He's become a friend since then, but he's also somebody that I've learned a tremendous amount from, and he has the ability to drive multiple businesses forward while really enjoying life and being present and with both his family and his friends, and so I've learned a lot on that front from him. But I think everybody has their own things to add to the mix. You know, I think the financial genius of our time is Warren Buffett, and when you take on some of his financial strategies, your whole life can change, at least from a financial perspective, for sure.
Well, you do realize that everybody's going to be reading your bios to figure out how you got where you are as well, just like you read everybody else's. So you're one of those people now.
Yeah, well, that's fantastic. It'd be an honor.
Well, you already are there. There's nowhere to get. You're doing it. So I'm going to give our listeners your website so they can pull up your website and see who it is we're speaking with and how great you are and what you have going on. Not so great how great you are, like we should admire you, the person, but you, the spirit, you, the soul, you, the person who is making a difference in any way that you possibly can in this world. And as we all know, this world desperately needs it. And you heard the call, and you are absolutely making every effort. The website is www.chrishoward.com. That's chrishoward.com. Pull up the website and take a look at what Chris has going on. And I know less than 15 years ago, Chris, you were deeply in debt and, you know, living near poverty conditions, weren't you?
Oh, for sure. I was living in a space where I had to really turn my entire life around. And financially, I was paying with the most pain. You know, I always tell people in life, you to pay attention, you pay with pain.
Yeah.
And it works true in context. If you fail to pay attention to your health, you'll pay with pain. Or to your relationships, you'll pay with pain. And I was paying with a lot of pain financially. I was about $70,000 in debt. I was living in a house that they were tearing down while I was living there. They had cut the gas. So I was microwaving buckets of water to wash my hair with. I was eating every third day. Mm-hmm. And things were pretty bad. And it was being in that type of pressure that caused me to, you know, make some new commitments to myself and renew my commitment to really driving my life forward in a different way. And I read literally hundreds and hundreds of books about personal development and went and took seminar after seminar, hoping that good things would start pouring out from a results perspective in my life. And they surely did. And that was a turnaround point for me.
Well, what was it? What was going on in your life, Chris, before this hit bottom happened to you? What were you doing before that?
Yeah, well, I was I had gone and I had worked in the hotel resort industry, as you had alluded to earlier, and I had worked my way up to the management. I had my first 30 person team when I was 21 years old. I was in charge of the scuba diving and the golf and the windsurfing and the sailing and all that stuff. And I really had a blast. I was having a good time. I was traveling all over the world, doing what I enjoyed. But I was living in a surreal world where everything was provided for me. All the meals were provided. Didn't have to think about bills, nothing like that. And so I knew that I had to, go out and forge my own way and forge my own path and take charge of my life. And so I left there. But that's where I found myself in dire straits because I was 24 years old at the time, and I missed this whole period of life for 6 years where I never learned how to balance a checkbook. I never learned, I never learned wise financial lessons, how to run my life and stuff. And I came out and I was just bad, 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 bad shape. And it was for that reason that I started on the path that I'm on now.
I am so grateful that you took something like the bottom that you hit and just used it as a trampoline to bounce up from. And doing that in front of us is so inspiring, I have to tell you. When I took your seminar, you use hypnosis in your seminar also, which I found extremely beneficial. I went there with my business partner, Alex Schief. We both co-created quantum hypnotherapy. So we really resonated with everything you were saying. And to see you put an entire room, I don't know how many hundreds of people were there. It seemed like there were at least 1,000 at the
quite possible. Yeah.
The theater. I know that
we have 8,000 people registered in the UK coming up to where I'm headed next.
Fantastic. For such a treat. So what are the dates that your seminar will be this coming weekend?
It's going to be the 21st through the 23rd right here in Los Angeles. And the seminar goes from 9 a.m. to 11 p.m. both Saturday and Sunday, and then 9 to 7 on, Friday and Saturday is 9 a.m. to 11 p.m., and Sunday is 9 a.m. to 7 p.m., and it's really a full-on transformational weekend where you go in and you transform your life on every level. And so it's not an intellectual lecture where you go and you passively sit by and watch what's being said or listen to what's being said, because we don't get transformation from that. We can intellectualize things till the end of our days.
Mm-hmm.
It's we need to get in our neurology, and so it's this transformational experience. The program's already sold out. However, if you call the office right now, we'll still take your name. You can get on the waiting list. You can show up there. I mean, we're way beyond capacity. The seating capacity is only 1,300. But if you call 888-877-8550, it's an $895 program, but we'll give tickets free out to your listeners.
And that's 888-877-8590?
No, 8550. So it's 888-877-8550. And call right now. And if it's a message machine, if the lines are tied up, just leave a message. They'll call you back by tomorrow morning, and we'll do our best to see who we can fit in. The program's completely full. And if we can't get you into this one, we'll get you into the one that's coming up in January of next year.
Right. And did I hear you mention that the tickets were free?
Well, it's an $805 weekend. But what we've done, you know, one of the mission of my company is to eradicate poverty on a larger level through education and entrepreneurial means. And I launched a charity earlier this year, and I'm actually working with Richard Branson out in South Africa. That's why I'm going there in 2 weeks to help for that goal. And so we're doing a charity breakthrough to success event, just like we're doing here. We're doing one in South Africa for the first free university out there. And so we have this mission, and we're giving scholarships to the program right now. It's an $895 weekend, but we do have some scholarships that we're giving away right now. And it's for the effort of putting these tools in the hands of everybody on the planet, because when we do that, we know the world will be a better place. It doesn't, you know, I also fully expect that when people come in, they get excited by it, they want to do more. We are a business, so
right.
We have a tremendous educational path that people can follow, so we know that as well. But yeah, absolutely, we'll give it to the first 50 callers from your show if they call in. To 888-877-8550, and if we can't get you into this one, we'll put you in the next one in January, because we are sold out, but we'll do our best to get you in now.
And I just want to say to our listeners that if you get yourself into this seminar, if you're lucky enough to find a seat to get yourself in there, do everything within your power to do so, because it will absolutely shift your consciousness in a way that you did not expect for yourself. And it will be a springboard into that place you want to be, the place that you see yourself in your future, that it seems like it's so hard to get to right now. You might think that seminars, oh, they're just a seminar. No, this is not just a seminar. This is an experiential thing that you will remember for the rest of your life, and the person who told you about this thing, you will remember them for the rest of your life. So you will remember this radio show for the rest of your life if you can end up in one of these seminars. They are that incredible. I recommend that the entire planet, like you said, Chris, get this technology into their hands and get these concepts into their consciousness, so that we can have a more awake world, and people will stop hurting each other, and our economy will improve, politics will improve, world affairs will improve. And I have a really good question for you, because I was just conversing with a friend of mine who is just consumes himself with media, the negativity of media, the negativity of world affairs, the negativity of politics, instead of, you know, looking at what's really great about all those things, because there has to be something great about all those things, because we have balance in the world. I mean, you know, you can't have all dark or all light. There is, you know, some of everything. How would you help a person to shift their mindset about that there's all this gloom and doom upon us, and there's impending doom coming, and shake that feeling? I mean, I recognize that feeling that somebody might be having as depression. However, it could be somebody picking up, you know, being an empath of some sort and picking up, you know, what will happen if we don't all wake up. How would you help this person restore themselves to peace of mind?
Well, I think You know, personal development and personal growth is really a discipline, and it's a commitment. So I don't know that I'd shifted in sitting down with them in 10 minutes, or, you know, if it's going to be more of a discipline. So what I'd look to do is help them. I'd help to infuse an attitude of constant and never-ending improvement. You know, I always tell people, I've been a martial artist all my life, and the people that got black belt in martial arts were not the people that went to a weekend course. They're not the people that bought a book and read that. They're not the people that saw the DVD, The Secret of the Martial Arts. They're the people that had the discipline and the commitment to continue working on their game and polishing up every weakness of their game until it became their greatest strength. And so when you look at something that can be all pervasive, like an attitude, and if their attitude is that they always look for the negative or always look for the doom and gloom in life, what they need is a complete overhaul.
Yes, I agree.
<You know?
laughs> Yes. And it's painful to be around somebody who's stuck in that place. And, you know, we all want to, but it's like for instance, I only help people as a healer when they come to me and ask for it. But when there's someone in our lives who is just going through that and they're not asking for help, but they just keep speaking of the gloom and doom, in order to protect ourselves, is it best if we say, well, you know, I would really prefer if you're going to talk to me about stuff that you find a solution to talk about in the conversation instead of just complaining?
Well, I totally hear what you're saying, and it's like I like you agree that, you know, I don't go around healing people without being asked.
Right.
There's bad practice and it's not well received, but it depends on what the relationship with the person is.
Yeah.
You know, if we're talking about a husband or a spouse or something like that, then then it could be, you know, what I would be looking. Whereas, how can we do some counseling or something together so that we can better understand each other and each other's lives and each other's thinking processes? And I think that's really what takes us sitting down together. If the other partner is willing to work on it,
right.
If it's somebody that's not that close,
right.
But it's somebody that we care about, I'll always drop seeds. I'll say, well, hey, I've got, you know, I know something that can help that. Just ask.
Right.
Otherwise, I'll let them, you know, go. So I'll drop a seed that lets them know that I can help. But I need permission if I'm going to go to work with somebody. But,
yes.
I mean, the first thing that somebody needs to do if they're in a place like that where everything is doom and gloom and everything is, you know, I mean, that's I wouldn't say a big issue. Issues can be, it doesn't matter what the size of the issue is, it's just as easy to break through it if the person has sufficient motivation to break through it, in my book. That's, you know, for me, it's just a fun challenge to help people break through their limitations of thought.
Yes.
The first thing they have to do is become aware of it.
Right.
It's the awareness is the first step to change, and then get what it's costing them to think that way and get what the cost of the problem is. But if they don't know it's a problem, then they're not going to want to do anything about it. So
yes, that's the place this person is at. They don't know that it's a problem yet. They think they're being very benevolent by pointing out what's wrong.
Even realistic or intelligent or whatever, they're taking pride in the fact that they see something that you don't and I get that.
And we're being perceived as spiritual ostriches with our fingers in our ears.
Yes, exactly.
We don't see it that way. But, you know, we know that this stuff's going on in the world, but if we focus on it, we're going to have more of that stuff, being that collective consciousness is a very real thing.
Yeah,
and what you're thinking about, you're bringing about. What I'm thinking about, I'm bringing about. What he's thinking about, he's bringing about. In my little orbit, I am going to attract to myself what it is that I want, because I happen to know that matter creates gravity, and each of us are matter. And the gravity that we create causes things to orbit around our lives, and that's what we're attracting.
Yep.
So, you know, like, what is it in the, Charlie Brown, there was one of the kids would walk around with a little storm cloud over his head, dragged his blanket, you know, and it's like, there has to be people like that in the world just for balance sake, but when somebody's hurting, but they don't know they're hurting, and they're justifying this gloom and doom behavior, it is painful to watch that. And you also, you know, when do you decide that you just need to keep your hands off so that they can find their bottom out? Because
I think it depends on the nature of the relationship. I mean, if it's something that if it's just an acquaintance, I think the best thing you can do is, what I say in the program sometimes, people say, well, how do I change my mother? How do I change my brother, my sister, these other people around me, my husband? I say, if you try to push somebody through the doorway of change, they'll hold on to the door jam like you would believe.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but if you just kind of look out and you go, wait, man, that's cool. And they say, what? And you say, you wouldn't be interested. Then you can start to cause that spark to rise from within, and it's really about leading them in a different way. But you can't push them through it, because they'll fight you on it every step of the way. I think the best thing that somebody can do if they want to help people step up around them is to be a shining light of possibility, a shining example of what's possible. On the flip side, when we play devil's advocate here for a second, the doom and gloom person says, a bunch of people are spiritual people with their head in the sand, spiritual ostriches with their head in the sand. Well, if truly that spiritual ostrich, as they say, really does have their head in the sand and they're not out using what they know in terms of positive principles and everything to get stuff done, to make their life work, to make the world a better place,
yeah.
to make their finances work, to make their relationships work, to make their health work. If they're just preaching principles yet not practicing those principles to get stuff done, then I can see where the other person would have, you know, you give them something to complain about. So, but on the flip side, if you step up and you're out there making things happen and proving the principles, it's kind of hard to deny. However, even, and you may find that those people are inspired and they step up as well. However, what tends to happen is you'll still get the people to go, after you've made it, after you've really created huge things in your life, they'll go, oh, well, you know, they were special anyway, or they were born into it. Or then they'll make up all their reasons and excuses for why you made it, and it will never be your thinking, of course.
Well, you know, being a hypnotherapist that you are, you know, I don't know if this is true for you, but I know it is for my partner and I when we do quantum hypnotherapy. We find that the person who resists the hardest falls the deepest into hypnosis. Do you find that for yourself?
The person resists the hardest falls to the deepest of hell. I think that's a great belief to have.
Oh, that's what we see every time. Yeah. We did a marathon quantum hypnotherapy over the weekend, and we saw it every time. And we actually are glad when somebody's resisting, because then that they just go right under. We can actually watch them surrender. We can watch them. It's like a mental arm wrestling match. And we watch them surrender, and we've had 100% success with it. We were able to hypnotize everybody. But we find that when someone is resistant, when they're resistant, that something really wonderful is coming. So we have a different perspective.
No, I think it's a fabulous perspective to have, and a fabulous way to look at it. I mean, my beliefs, I held slightly different beliefs. I don't know that I don't find that I get a lot of resistance. I know that there are sometimes people that have secondary gain to change and some reasons, emotional benefits to holding on to issues and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I've kind of reframed myself out of getting resistance, but I think that's a fabulous framework and a fabulous thing to notice, that the more they try to resist, the deeper they go into a trance. I like that.
Yeah, and the person that I was speaking of before, the gloom and doom person, is just about to fall in to an abyss of a new way of thinking, and I know it. And he's so close that he's resisting that very last minute that he can. And I've said all the things that you said to him, like, you wouldn't be interested in this. This works for me, and maybe you enjoy thinking that way, but that doesn't work for me, because I believe that heaven and hell exist between our ears.
Sure.
And we can choose to have a hellacious day, or we can choose to have a heavenly day. But not to choose is also a powerful choice. And if you're walking around not choosing, and one shows up because you stubbed your toe, so your whole day is ruined, that's a choice. But, you know, if you stub your toe and you're conscious of that being a trigger for falling into that hellacious day syndrome, then you can consciously pull up on those controls and not crash and burn. But it's just a matter of awareness. Like you said, awareness is half the solution. It's even more than half the solution, because once it gets into your consciousness, you could do something about it. But if you're not aware of it and it's not in your awareness, you can't really be responsible for making any shift. And what you do in your seminars is, what I found for myself anyway, is there were, gosh, I can't even tell you how many things, Chris, that were not in my awareness, that were driving me. All these programs open, running my life, running, you know, slowing down my internal computer, that I did not even know were programs that I had, yet they were open and running my life. And when you did that hypnosis session where you called all the people out onto the stage that you wanted to let go of, there were people there that I didn't even know that I knew walking out on that stage. And after that exercise you did for the whole room, for me, I felt so much lighter, and I let go of that emotional charge that I had with everybody. And I've begun to write a book, actually a couple of books since that time. I believe, for me anyway, as a healer, that the purpose for freedom is to free somebody else. And what I really get from your seminars is that nobody walks out of there still in that emotional prison they walked in with. They're gonna get something removed from them that was causing them pain. Whatever it was that got them in that room, in that seat, is some kind of a desire, even if they're not aware of it, to have their life be better. And they walk out of there, their life is better. And if the listeners cannot get in this coming seminar, please, please sign up for the January one as soon as you can. And also, Chris, I would love it if you could tell our listeners about your fast track, because you have some incredible seminars in your fast track. Would you mind telling them about that?
Yeah, no, for sure. That's we've got Breakthrough to Success, which is our 3-day seminar, and that's the one that we're offering to your listeners right now, and that's coming up on the 21st through the 23rd. And then we have our Fast Track to Success seminar series, which is a combination of different programs. Each one is a different puzzle piece for designing the mosaic of a life the way you choose. We've got our results certification, which is where you learn how to make behavioral change in yourself and others. It's about self-leadership. It's like the old NLP trainings, but it's on steroids. It's with the next generation of technologies, today's technologies. And then we've got Master Results, which is the second half of the full body of knowledge of that training. And then we've got... and by the way, the Master Results are where you learn how to become a mechanic for the mind, so you can really take charge of your reality, make more money, have better relationships, have better physical health. We've got a presentation and platform skills, which is just phenomenal. That training, we systematically overload your conscious mind so you don't care what you're doing on a stage by day 3.
Mm-hmm.
And then we layer in at the unconscious level 36 behaviors of the most outstanding speakers on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
That you find yourself doing those behaviors without conscious thought.
Mm-hmm.
We've got one training called Performance Revolution, which is all about dropping the masks that most people wear through life, revealing your true inner confidence, stepping up, becoming a magnetic and charismatic leader.
Now, if I may interject, wouldn't
sure.
you say that that one in particular would be great for actors?
Oh, it's great. Oh, yeah.
These are great for actors because, you know, acting is about performance and it's about accessing your true nature and your authentic voice.
You know what? Quite frankly, the four that I just mentioned, because we got a couple more here that I was about to mention, but the four that I just mentioned are all spectacular for actors, because finding your inner voice, stepping out of your shell, revealing your true inner confidence, all of those things, having the resilience, the persistence to say it through, for sure. As Harrison Ford once said when he first moved to Hollywood, he said he realized that he just have to outlast everybody else and he'd eventually be successful because there were so many people that came and went from the field.
Yeah, yeah.
and so that training is about developing the persistence and the resilience that so you stay the course.
Mm-hmm.
But also those other courses, I'll tell you, I used to have stage fright. And what happens is in those other courses, like at the results level, as well as the presentation and platform skills level, you learn amazing performance skills that just bring you right out of your shell, allow you to pick and choose
mm-hmm.
the emotional state you want to be in anytime, any place, anywhere. You want to show up confident, powerful, playful. You want to feel like you're on a roll.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all those things, it puts you totally in charge of those types of things. And then the presentation and platform skills give you stage presence and charisma like you wouldn't believe. I mean, just awesome stuff. And I know it because I was at one time I was acting, and it's like, wow, man, if actors could get a hold of this stuff, it would be awesome.
Yeah.
Then we've also got a program called Design Your Destiny that's all about it's about the alchemy of success and how to turn your wildest dreams and ambitions into real-world results. And finally, we have another training called Billionaire Boot Camp.
Yes, that's the one I'm excited about. I'm excited
about that
one.
Are you doing that one?
Yeah, that one.
That's about taking your financial evolution into high gear by modeling billionaires and getting inside their heads. And that's good for any dreamer that has a huge dream but wants to turn that dream into reality, because most dreamers miss the whole business side and the financial side. It's about, hey, I'm in this for the long haul. How do I not only be in it for the long haul, but augment it, grow it, expand it in a way where I get to enjoy every moment of it? And those are the core courses in the fast track. And then we have various coaching programs and some multi-speaker events we do. And we also have our Billionaire Adventure Club, which is my, it's a high-end, about $70,000 to join, or $60,000 is what the new price is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
We go into developing nations and help to eradicate poverty through education. And so this is really what I'm living for right now. And we're just traveling all over the world. We're going into South Africa and Cambodia and Peru and Mongolia and teaching these skills and just having a blast.
That's fantastic. And don't you think it's possible, Chris, no matter what, like I understand that Nigeria are some of the happiest people on the planet, even though their poverty level is off the charts.
Right.
It's a mindset, isn't it?
Oh, happiness surely is a mindset. You know, happiness, success, fulfillment, all of those things are something that you can have in the here and now. There's no steps required to make them occur other than the steps that we put in place as individuals. You know, most people in our society say, oh, one day I'll be happy, or one day I'll be fulfilled, or once I hit that goal, I'll feel successful. I'll be successful once I'm X, Y, or Z. I mean, you hear me living in out here in California with an actor. So one day I'll feel successful once I've got that role. Well, the only way you get that role is by being successful now. You know,
yes.
The only way. Yeah, it's like the emotional states aren't things that we have to wait for. You know, I just came back from a trip to Fiji, and then the next week I went to the Gold Resort in Brisbane, Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went there, I was telling a story about all these people that were, you know, working and pushing really in the society, and all the people work and push real hard so that they could just earn the money so they could relax and go to a resort, where you look at like the local Fijians, I mean, they live there all the time and they don't work real hard, they don't do a lot. They're living in that type of an environment. And the same thing at the Golden Door. The story I heard was that the Golden Door was that they were living there and enjoying it. And these were the workers that were there, and they're like, we don't make a bunch of money. We don't, you know, we don't push and run five different businesses and go crazy. And we, you know, we have these beautiful, we got the woods out here. We went for a walking meditation when I was there, where we just stood in the woods and did nothing for 20 minutes except to listen to the sounds and look at the trees and drink it all in and soak it all in. And all that stuff's free, and it doesn't require steps to get it, but it's some of the most rewarding and fulfilling things you could possibly imagine. But what people do today in society is they attach their success or their fulfillment or their happiness to future goals. And, you know, there's no reason why we can't have both. In fact, when we're happy now, when we're fulfilled now, when we're successful now, the goals are drawn in like iron filings to magnets, so we become much more magnetic for the opportunities we want to create.
Exactly. It's a law of attraction. What you think about, you bring about. What you're vibrating, you're going to get an exact vibrational match return to you for what you're putting out. And that's,
for sure.
You know, like this is constant as the law of gravity. It's like they say in The Secret, Michael Beckwith says, it doesn't matter if you're a good person or a bad person, if you jump off a building, you're going to hit the ground.
Yes. I think so. And Michael may come to our program this upcoming weekend, too.
Yeah, I just was with Michael on Saturday at the Elevate Film Festival. I took some really cool pictures I would love to send to you. He was in whiteface, and we were teasing him because it was a circus theme, and he was dressed like a ringmaster, but he made his face white, and he was wearing a big top hat, and he was running around like a little boy, 5 years old, so in his wonderful, precious child self, having a blast with all his wisdom. I mean, he was like just throwing off light all over the place. And that's probably why his face was white. But it was just amazing. And I know that you guys are planning some sort of a television project with Michael Beckwith, Bob Proctor, Mark Victor Hansen, and Chris and yourself.
Yeah, well, we were doing, you know, it's kind of on stall right now. We had that in the works before, and we just found out like 2 weeks ago they're putting a hold on it. They've just got too many projects like that, and to have four people up at once and to get all our concepts across is a bit much for them. But,
yeah.
You know, they're all dear friends of mine, and I'm looking forward to a lot of the different types of projects working on them.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, just looking to get Michael and the philanthropy work we're doing out in some of the developing nations, and over at Agape speaking, I just said hello to everybody a couple weeks ago, and like I said, there's a good chance he makes show up here at the seminar just to say hello to everybody. He's a really, really good man.
Yes, he sure is. I think he came to your last one, didn't he?
It was either
the one at the
World. Yeah, he stopped in just to say hi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And John Stellar. Who's a friend of mine?
He's a dear friend. Yeah,
yes.
He's coming to this one. He'll be there too.
Yep. And what's funny is, I have a Katieism, and that is synchronicity is divinity showing off. When I first met John Stellar, he was wearing Kukui Nuts from the Billionaire Boot Camp in Hawaii that you do. And I walked in with Kukui Nuts to Mike Dooley's seminar, and I walked up to him and I said, "I have to know you. My name's Kate Romero." And I said, "Who are you?" And he said, he just said, "My name is John." Well, I didn't know he was John Stellar, but I actually was, someone told me I have to meet John Stellar. I didn't know I was speaking to John Stellar until later through Joe Vitale's assistant, Suzanne. She said, "Oh, here's John Stellar's information. You have to call him." So I did, and I said, "Well, I was at Mike Dooley's seminar last weekend." He goes, "Oh, so was I." I said, "You might have seen me. I was wearing a brown hat, blah, blah, blah." He goes, "Of course I saw you. You introduced yourself to me." And I said, "I met you?" And he said, "Yeah, I'm the guy in the Kukui Nuts." Isn't that funny? And so, you know,
What's really funny is that's the same way he met Rhonda Byrne from The Secret.
Funny. I love it.
The story you just told me is the exact same way he met Rhonda right after Billionaire boot camp where you got the cuckoo nuts.
Yeah, there's something incredible afoot. There totally is. And see, that's the way every morning I get up, I look in the mirror and I say, how is the world planning and conspiring to do me good today? How is the world conspiring to do me good instead of how is the world conspiring to do me bad or do me harm? Because it's a choice. And that's what I was trying to say to my friend, the gloom and doom speaker, which he's not like that all the time. We're actually playing an emotional chess game. and I just told him to watch his bishop. But the thing is that it is a choice. And when you choose to believe that everything in your life is conspiring to do you good, it has no choice but to show up that way. It is your perspective. And
like reverse paranoia.
It's totally that. And I have that big time. And, you know, when I met John Steller, we bonded like brother and sister, like so quick and so powerfully that we know that there's something great coming. As a matter of fact, my partner and I are going to gift him with a quantum hypnotherapy session, you know, to do whatever he wants to with. But and we just did one with Melanie Benson Strick, a friend of yours.
She's a good friend of mine, too.
Yeah, and we gave her a session, and she's just doing fantastic. She just got new pictures shot for her, what it is that she's doing. She'll be on my radio show on October 16th. And just wonderful connecting of the dots everywhere. There are clues to success all over the place. And every single thing out there that helps a person connect the dots is proof of that success. For instance, your seminars, your Fast Track, Billionaire Boot Camp, which I'm hoping to go to for my birthday. And that is in Hawaii, right?
Mm-hmm. When's your birthday?
April 27th, but yours is in March. The boot camp is in March.
Yeah.
But I always celebrate a month early and a month before and a month after.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I don't mess around. So I'm looking forward to doing that. And I also had a couple of questions for you that might help our listeners. You know, I always know that whatever it is that a guest and I speak about on this show, that it's what the audience is pulling out of us through collective consciousness, and the audience is inside of us anyway, I believe. So what I'm feeling a strong instinct to ask you about is, how do our values affect our results in life? Our values, you know, the values that we live by, and I found for myself at your seminar, Chris, that the values that I had weren't even mine. They belonged to everybody else. Everybody who was an authority figure to me put some kind of value on me that I made my own that wasn't really mine. So when I got present to the fact that the values that I was living by every day were not even my own, I then reconstructed my value system and gave away all of the ones that didn't belong to me and incorporated what is my purpose, what is my goal, what is my passion in life, and I gave myself a new blueprint of values at your seminar, and that it's from that place I've been living ever since. And you know, this radio show is I'm in a little more than my first year now doing this. I'm a progressive talent manager with a focus on consciousness. My clients are doing fantastic. I had them all watch The Secret over last Christmas, and their auditions, bookings, and callbacks tripled. And I know when anybody's feeling gloom and doom and I go after them, I'll call them on the phone and say, what's up with you? What's going on? What are you believing? What are you thinking? What's happening? Because I can't get you arrested. What's going on? And they'll say, sure enough, you know, they're feeling very defeated or resigned, or this is going on, or a loved one said this or whatever. And then I get them back on track. And one of the reasons why I'm a talent manager in the first place is because I love to mentor and guide, and that's what I just love, to be of support to people and help them realize their true nature and their divinity and who they were born to be and get back to that place. And using acting for me and being a talent manager, I made it my ministry, and I use it to be of service. And I know that when I'm being of service, all of my physical needs are provided for. The universe shows up to support it every time when you're being of service. So I guide my actors to see their careers as people who are being of service to people. And do you agree that when someone's being of service, that their values just naturally shift?
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, absolutely. It's, that's a shift in values. That's a certain value set in and of itself that would cause somebody to choose to be of service to people. And I think that there's good things that come from that. There's a whole law of reciprocity, and it's, you know, what you put out is what you get. So I think it's a fabulous value set to have. but you know, our values come from, and that's why one of the our values come from our past programming and conditioning, from both from our parents, from the environments we've grown into, economic ties, from social conditioning, and all of that. And most of us are unaware of what our values are, but they totally dictate our lives. They dictate the amount of money we make. They dictate the quality of our relationships. They dictate the level of physical health that we have. They dictate everything. And so, because they're what's important to us at a core level and at every level. So, but because our values are largely unconscious, people just go through life getting what they get. And they also don't realize that because they were, the values that we have, because they are an effect of our programming and conditioning, that they don't necessarily have to be the values that we go on holding as we move to the future. Once we understand how malleable they are and how pliable they are and moldable they are and from the sources from which they came, then we can be, then we're more empowered to make conscious choices about what we want those values to be and what's going to help us design the life that we really want versus the life that we were born into. And or the life that we really deserve. How do we step up and start living the life that we really deserve, or that that's in our heart, that we're longing for? And so, understanding about values, and then about how to change values and how to work with values and get rid of values conflicts is really, really huge. It's some of the most important work you can do. In fact, I think it is the most important work that you can do from a personal development perspective.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It truly is. I can say, and why I even went off on that tangent to tell you what I got from the value shift from your seminar is it really got me present to the fact that every single thing that I'm doing in my life is to be of service, to bring about exactly what it is you're up to, and that is to raise consciousness all over the planet and help everybody realize that they are from where they come from. They are that stuff. They are, you know, depending on how you call it, creator, God, Allah, whatever it is, whatever your higher power is. You come from that. You are made in the image of image and likeness of that. Therefore, you are that, and you can do everything that deity, higher power, God, Jesus, whoever, whatever that is for you. You can do those things too, if you so choose. It's believing you cannot that makes that true for you. Do you agree with that?
I agree.
Right, and it's like even in the Bible, it says Jesus says, "I believe." I'm probably not going to say it right, but these things I do, you can also do, more so, better.
Yes.
And it is so true. And when you get that your value systems are really driving your life, it's like, would you think that a value would be your belief system, for instance?
Well, beliefs are, values are more abstract than beliefs. Beliefs are, they're both filters that determine your reality, what you sort for to be true in the world and what you act on. A belief is a conviction that you hold to be true about something. I believe I can do this. I believe that I can't do that. I believe that it's easy to make money. I believe that it's not easy to make money. I believe I can have a great relationship. I believe all men are this way or all women are this way. So beliefs are convictions that you have about life or that you hold to be true. Values are simply what's important to you and what drive all of your upfront motivation, because I bet you won't do something unless it's important to you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where they cross over is, you could say that another way to look at a value is simply a belief about what's important to you in life. So that is a way that you could look at it as well. So there's some crossover.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a distinct different definition between the two, if you will, which when we understand it, then allows us to go in and just work with the individual, you know, do we have a problem of a belief system? Like, do you have a problem because you don't believe you can make a lot of money? Or is your problem that money's never been important to you in the first place? Is your problem that you don't believe that you can have a great relationship? Or is your problem that you don't value relationships and therefore you don't pour the time and the energy into it because you don't value it? So just different types of issues. You know, one of the things I say in our seminars is that to a man with a hammer, everything appears as a nail.
Mm-hmm.
And what I teach in Breakthrough to Success is kind of a window to a lot of the things that we teach. But at our results, in our master results, we have this whole tool belt of tools, 80-some-odd tools, for dealing with different types of issues. And belief issues are oftentimes an issue, and values issues are oftentimes an issue for people.
Yep. And if you look at your life and you ask yourself what's important to you, and you find that you're having a financial struggle, then obviously money is not on your value system. And if it is, it's not one of the first things. So
for sure. It's not in your value system, or it's not one of the first things. And there could also be other issues. People could say, somebody could really say, well, money is really important to me. It really is. But when you ask them, why is it important to you? Well, because I don't want to be broke, or because I have to pay the bills, or because I've never had any, or I'm afraid of. Okay, there's the issue of does a particular result appear on your values list? Is it important to you? Is it in the top values? But then also, how do you focus on it? You know, what's behind it? Because if it's fear-motivated or pain-motivated, then you end up getting that which you focus on. Like if somebody says, yeah, money's important to me, because I don't want to be broke and because I've got all this debt.
Mm-hmm.
But what they're really focused on is debt and being broke, in
yep.
which case they typically stay in that place. It's kind of like your doom and gloom friend.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, both you and he could say that world peace is important to you or peace is important to you, but because of the difference between your two focuses on the issue,
mm-hmm.
You're going to produce different results. You, in turn, live a peaceful life where he lives a tormented life,
mm-hmm.
even though you both may say, well, peace is important to me. Why for you? So we can have a peaceful planet, a loving planet, a sustainable planet. Why for him? Well, so we can get out of this horrific situation that we're in, and you know, it's just a totally different focus and produces a different life experience.
Yeah, but it's fun to debate with him because I think that I accuse him of flirting with me, basically, by being so adamant about gloom and doom because he knows that I'm going to come after him and sword fight him on what it is he's trying to convince me I should believe in. So I accuse him of flirting with me, but we still love to have these debates. And I'm a little flattered that he trusts me enough to say these things to me and to reveal that he does feel that way. So, you know, he must be looking for some kind of relief. What was that?
I said you could just be messing with your head a little bit.
Yeah, probably. But I'm messing with his a little bit, too. And you know, it's a lot of fun. And I want to ask you before the hour is over, because this is a real important question for a lot of people, and I'm sure you would agree with this. I need to know from you, if people can really, really change the basis of their personality or completely overcome traumatic events from their past, like if they've had a real abusive childhood, how can they really let that go, Chris? Is it possible?
Yes. I mean, how can they not let it go? I mean, if you had a difficult past, it's like, I mean, how could you, do you really want to go through your life living your life through the past? Or don't you want to step up and start living a life that's not defined by the past? I mean, the choice is yours. And there's some people that cling to stuff like that. You know, and it's like just we go, well, do I want to cling to it? No, I don't. I want to move beyond it. All right, so show me the tools to move beyond it.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like it's just like anything else. You know, my approach to personal development is my approach to health and fitness. Can somebody really slim down and get lean and trim if they're overweight? Yes. They start eating less, they start exercising more, and then they stay consistent and they stay disciplined, they can do it. Can somebody really go from being bankrupt to making millions of dollars? Yes. If they learn the lessons that they need to learn, they get the right mentors, they put themselves in the right saturation environments, they take the right actions, they get the right coaching, they make the right distinctions, of course they can. Can they overcome some sort of negative thinking about their past? Absolutely, in just the same way. You
mm-hmm.
make the commitment that you're going to do it, you start to redirect your focus, you learn the tools that help you to stay powerfully on path. There's no doubt but that you can change any of those things about your life. It's just like taking piano lessons. Can you really get better at piano if you take lessons day in, day out? For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it just takes the right coaching and the right attitude and surrounding yourself with the right people. And it takes a desire and commitment on the part of the person doing the work.
Right. But, you know, a lot of people, and I know you see this every day in the line of work you're in, Chris, is a lot of people don't know that they don't even know that they're clinging to drama or addicted to drama or addicted to trauma. And I know for myself, I stopped calling myself a survivor a long time ago because I noticed as long as I called myself a survivor, I was attracting things to survive. But I started calling myself a thriver, a prevailer, and I noticed that I was attracting all the evidence in the world to support that.
Yeah,
so
sure.
If you call yourself a survivor, well, that's better than being a victim. It's a step up.
Right.
But if you call yourself a survivor, then by nature you are attracting things to survive so that you can keep being that survivor. Does that make sense?
Yep. Yeah, no, totally. I get it. Yeah.
No, like you know, if somebody's a survivor, well, they're going to attract an abusive relationship so that they can prove to themselves that they can get out of it unscathed. Or
yeah,
in one piece.
I'm a survivor, see?
Something.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just that, I mean, our sense of identity is one of the strongest drawing forces in our life. It draws us opportunities, draws things into us that either are things that we like or things that we don't. But, yeah, identity is such a strong force. And if one identifies oneself as being a survivor, I could see one attracting a lot of challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Survivor, like for me, I identify with, if you ask Chris, what are you? Okay, I'm a creator.
Cool.
I'm someone who cares, but a creator is the first thing that comes in my mind. Yeah, okay, so I create things from nothing.
Well,
there's no struggle in that.
No. You bring the meta to the physical.
Yeah, oh, I like that.
Yeah.
I love it.
A gift for it. And and I was going to ask you, as a matter of fact, what is the identity of Chris Howard? And what I got, the first thing that popped in my head was conscious creator.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, But I'm a physical creator, too. I'm not afraid to get up off my butt and go make some things happen.
Got it, but you're consciously doing it. That's what I mean.
Yeah, you're conscious of
creating, and you are a consciousness for creation. And unless you're a consciousness for something, you're not going to be that. You're not going to attract that. It will not show up in your life. It's like in the morning, you know, besides saying, how is the world conspiring to do me good, I also say, what am I a consciousness for today? Am I a consciousness for being a courteous driver, or a consciousness for being peaceful, a consciousness for being a great friend, consciousness for being a great daughter, a great, you know, whatever it is, a great manager, a great quantum hypnotherapy person, whatever it is. People can start their day by, what am I a consciousness for? And if you're not a consciousness for money, you're not going to have any.
Absolutely.
If you're not a consciousness for booking jobs, you're not going to book any. If you're not a consciousness for making a difference, you're not going to make a difference. If you're not a consciousness for transformation, then that's not going to be your experience. So what you're doing is you're going along in these seminars and on this world tour that you're on, and I'm so extremely excited that you get to do that and that you are doing that, because I know everyone's in for such a treat. And it's not so much to revere you, the person, but revere you, your spirit, more so, because you are living what you came here to do, in my opinion, if I may say so. And you're doing it in front of me, and that inspires me greatly. And when I'm inspired greatly, then it makes me want to inspire others greatly. So it just ignites consciousness everywhere. And I believe one person can ignite global consciousness. I believe one person absolutely can. And if I didn't believe that, then I need to get out of the businesses that I'm in.
I hear you.
Right. And it could just take one actor to unfreeze a frozen heart, because you are playing your emotions like a Stradivarius, and somebody watching who doesn't know how to feel finally reaches a place where they can cry, because they've seen that in a movie, they've seen you perform that, they've seen you in touch with you and your own authenticity, and it makes them want to find their own. So you're doing that in front of all of us as well. And, you know, it's like, if I were to emulate anyone as a motivational speaker, I want to emulate you.
Well, thank you very much. It's a big compliment.
I mean it. And I don't know if you remember me, but I said hello to you at the one seminar. I'm the one who boldly stood up and said, I don't think people want to listen to me. And then I said, wait a minute. I have a radio show. I'm a talent manager. I'm a co-creator of quantum hypnotherapy. I'm an author. I communicate powerfully and boldly everywhere. How nervy of me to think nobody wants to hear what I'm saying. And you got a big kick out of that. You remember it?
I do remember you saying that.
That was me. Yeah. And ever since then, I have stopped thinking that way, because I didn't even know that I was having an episode of stinking thinking until I stood up and said it. So, I mean, great, wonderful miracles happen in your seminars, and people really get free of a lot of stuff. And when every person who stood up and got free in front of us spoke for many, many people in the room who just didn't stand up and say it. So it's a beautiful, wonderful bonding thing, and I believe you could take a whole country and cause that, Chris.
Well, thank you. We're doing our best.
Yeah, I can tell that you are. So we're coming up on the end of our Spiritual Hollywood Hour, and I want to thank you so much for giving us your energy, your spirit, your time, and making sure that you got to be on the show tonight after just getting back from Sydney, Australia. I do appreciate that so much. And if you had one last thing, burning desire to say to our listeners, just trust whatever that is and just say it before we close. I would really love that.
Well, you know, that's, for me, the secret to success is easy. It's heart and spirit and the willingness to find the right guides each step of the way. When I say heart and spirit, I mean the concept comes from martial arts, Bushido, warrior spirit. So you have that warrior spirit, you keep your eyes up high, always moving forward. You know, the secret to success is to fall down four times and get up five. So it's that heart and that spirit that drives you through, and the willingness to find the right guides each step of the way is so important. I've always found mentors, and then when I learned everything that I needed to learn, find another mentor, learn everything I need to learn, find another mentor, keep moving forward, and there's nothing you can't achieve.
And you'll get there. You can have, do, and be anything you choose, and that is an exact fact. And it is the law of nature. As long as you believe that it is true for you, you can have that. And there are people like yourself who will show you how to do that, because you did it in front of us, and we know it's possible because of that. So I'd like to thank all of our listeners for tuning in this evening. Thank you so much, Don Newsome at BBS Radio. Thank you, Chris Howard. And I'd like to say to everybody, take a deep breath, stand up really straight, and love yourselves, and seize your someday, because all you have is now. Good night, everybody. Good night, Chris.
Good night.